This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I just texted thank you to Jeff Passan. I said you're an entertainment deity. You know what his reply was?
What's that?
Oh, stuff it. Oh, he never stops.
He's true. You guys have to understand, not only is he truly the best on baseball, but like that wasn't a halfway thing he said about WWE Survivor Series this weekend. Like, he gave real information and thoughts because he's watching. He's amazing.
He is amazing. He's an amazing human being.
God bless him. He might be there. He might be right there.
Yeah, he's right there. Listen, he challenges Steve every single week, but here's the issue. Steve doesn't care. Jeff's making an effort.
Right. No. But Steve also, he brings it every week. Jeff's not a weekly. He comes
But even if he was, like, here's the difference. This is why Steve is cool and will always be number one. He doesn't even think about it. He just does it. Like, any effort to close the gap is made by Jeff himself, which is great, and it makes for great radio, but the fact that he's trying so hard takes some points away, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Wow. All right, the big story today, Jets benching Zach Wilson. So we've heard from Robert Sala. Now let's hear from Mike White, who is now the starting quarterback, and he was told yesterday. And we had a source that told us that one of the first calls he made was to a former college roommate. So we had the information. We didn't trust it. But he got very chatty when he was told he was a starting quarterback. Here's Mike White on Zach Wilson.
I'm friends with Zach Wilson first, teammate second. He's a great teammate. He's a great dude. And it's just this whole time, this situation is just showing that even more so. He's been super supportive. It's been the same guy. And I think that just shows the type of dude and type of teammate he is. And we'd expect nothing less from him. That's just kind of who he is. It's what we've known to know him as going over these past year and a half, I would say, or whatever it is. But yeah, no surprise from that. He's been the same dude, same supportive guy.
Here's Zach Wilson on being benched.
It's tough, man, and it's never fun, but, you know, the first thing kind of went through my mind is I got to get to work. I got to get better, and I'm going to approach that every single day and just keep working to get better.
See, here's what gets me. How's he going to get better? Is he going to go to YouTube to get some videos? The coaches are going to be working with White to win games. They want to make the playoffs. That's why they made this move.
See, that's the debatable thing. I just want to know what the motivation is for the move, because I can't buy that it's both, because one has to do damage to the other. Like, if it's I believe in Zach, I just want him to get his head right, we're going to reset. Well, then it shouldn't be a fluid situation. Then eventually he is going to get his job back. But if it's going to be based on how White plays, well, then are you really worried about Zach if White continues to win and he doesn't get and Zach doesn't get his job back? Then the motivation really was trying to save the season and win. So, but you know what I'm saying, Michael? When it's both, it can't be both, because one comes at the expense of the other. So it's got to be one over the other, not both. You can't accomplish both. Not if White continues to play.
Yeah, I mean, if White plays well, we'll never see Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
If White plays poorly and they go under 500 and they drop out of the playoffs, I think you might see him. It'll be a last ditch to see if they could see what they have.
And I think that's where the debate lies, because if you are willing to bench him, then you have to be willing to at least understand the possibility that you are leaving Zach behind. Because if everything goes according to plan and White plays well and they continue to win, well, then White's your starting quarterback the rest of the year. And if you go to the playoffs, well, then White's going to have the leg up going into next year to be your starting quarterback, right?
You would think so.
And so you're going to go into the third year with maybe Zach backing up White. Well, if that's the case, then you're not giving him the fifth-year option, and then you're more likely to trade him than you are to have him be the backup to Mike White. Now, this is obviously best-case scenario, but if you are trying to make the team better, that's what you're hoping is going to happen. If Zach is somebody that you believe is going to lead you to the promised land, and he just needs the reset, well, then the sooner he gets back into the lineup, the better. But how could that happen if you've admitted that it's day-to-day and it's based on how White plays? So you see how one kind of hurts the other? So it's got to really be one or the other, not both.
Very odd stuff. Here's Bart Scott when he was on the air with Alan Hahn on Bart and Hahn when he found out that Wilson was being benched.
This was important for being able to keep control of the team. This is not about Zach Wilson's play. This is about sending a message that nobody's above reproach, that we expect you to conduct yourself a certain way, be professional, and this is a teachable moment for him to show him that, listen, you can't go up there and do that because not only are you representing yourself, but you're representing the New York Jets as well. I would say the quarterback is maybe the president, and, you know, he has conducted himself almost like a player, but also like management as well, you know, because he sets the tone, and he set the tone, and he brought a all of this on itself.
Here's what I don't understand, guys. Maybe you can illuminate me. He lost the whole room by going no, no? Or did he lose the room because he played poorly?
Can't it be both?
Yeah, but if it's just no, no, Peter, that's a weak room.
If it's just no, no, here's what I don't like about it. Even though you guys know I was not pleased with the way he handled it. I'm sorry. I kind of believe his explanation that he just didn't. He wasn't really paying attention. Well, like, he was just trying to get through the interview. It would be one thing if he gave a longer answer and really expounded upon it. Was like, nah, that's not me. But he didn't do that. So to me, it's a combination of both. It has to be a combination.
Well, let's see this through. Okay, you're a member of the defense, or you're a wide receiver, or a member of the offense that isn't getting the ball, or you want to open things up. And you see that it's all about the quarterback. The whole team bows down to the quarterback. It's all about making Zach better. And you're busting your brains and your butt to go out there and win games. And they're dumbing down the offense for Zach. He's not getting any better. They're still letting him continue to go out there and play. Hurt their playoff chances. Seems to be more about him than the rest of the team. So you're irritated about that. You know, Elijah Moore made comments here, comments there, a little upset. And then he doesn't take accountability for the worst performance we've seen a Jet quarterback ever have. That probably was the nail in his coffin there. Like, they're probably willing to deal with it, but now you're gonna lack accountability after all the sacrifices we've made to make you better. I'm a wide receiver on the team. I'm not getting the ball because they've dumbed down the offense for you. I'm a defense going out there, shutting down opposition's offenses to try to win games, and we end up losing two games to the Patriots because you can't get the job done, and now you've got the audacity not to take accountability for that performance. I'm out. I think it's all-encompassing, and it built to a head, and then the exclamation point at the end of that sentence was his reaction in the postgame. I think that did him in.
Anthony Greek, our producer on the Yes Side, broke it down for me. So he compared Josh Allen's first 20 starts against Zach Wilson's. So Allen had a 56.5% completion rate percentage. Wilson, 55.6. Allen, 6.7 yards per attempt. Wilson, 6.3. Allen, 20 TDs. Wilson, 13. Allen, 19 interceptions. Wilson, 16. Allen's rating, 74-8. Wilson, 70.7. Allen, 11-9. Wilson, 8-12. Games with multiple pass TDs, Allen, 5, Wilson, 4. Games with no pass TDs, Allen, 6, Wilson, 11. 200 or more yard passing games, Allen, 12, Wilson, 9. Sacked, Allen, 47, Wilson, 60. So, now, we're putting the second year for Allen in there. Because he did improve greatly in the second year. At this point, Zach Wilson has not. And when I watch Zach Wilson, and this is just coming from a layman's opinion, every athlete I've ever seen be great does it all in reaction. When you have to think about it, you're lost. You're lost. He's thinking about everything. That's how you get the yips. That's how you don't make the pass when there's a slight opening. They're constant badgering him. Don't play hero ball. Don't play hero ball. Don't go off schedule. The guy was lost. You watch that New England game. He couldn't complete a pass. And the average distance that the pass traveled was 3 yards. They dumbed it down, Don and Peter, and you're going to see how they'll smart it up for Mike White.
Yeah, see, that'll be telling to me. Because if they still keep it very conservative, then they probably don't believe in Mike either. And it's just a matter of just really benching him and letting him watch or whatever. But if they're going to sling the ball all over the field, then they're saying that this fifth-round pick this perennial backup quarterback, this guy that we didn't even activate early in the season, who had a terrible preseason, we're willing to open it up with, but not the guy that was picked second overall. That would be telling how they go about things. Now, I think this is a very winnable game. Even if Zach played, I think the Jets win this game. With no Fields, that's a tough spot for the Chicago Bears to win on the road. But moving forward, if they open it up with White, that's going to be pretty telling.
How about this for telling? How about this for telling, Peter? Mm-hmm. Remember when Elijah Moore mouthed off and they didn't just trade him? Mm-hmm. Maybe they secretly said, hey, he's right.
Well, wow. That's what I alluded to earlier. We looked at it as being selfish. Was he saying this
a truth teller.
That he felt like, I want to get out of here because I know with this quarterback, I'm never going to get the ball.
And guys, you want to know something else? When thinking about how this whole thing is going to play out for Zach Wilson and this team moving forward, as interesting as Zach's comments were after the last game, the comments of his teammates after this game are going to be very interesting.
Well, hey, listen, Garrett Wilson, again, this is a kid. This is a good kid. And he's talking about, you know, we got to practice better. The coaches, like, he made it really – he was either pointing the finger at the coaches not being good enough, or was he pointing the fingers at, guys, stop dumbing it down. We've got some weapons here. Will you put somebody in there and let's open this thing up? Stop putting plays together. Maybe it was even just open it up with Zach, whatever. Can we throw the ball more than 22 times?
All right, now we have to check in with our guy, Harry from Englewood.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get to the show on Friday, so that concerned all of us. But here he is. Harry, happy Thanksgiving. Harry? Oh, no.
Harry.
Harry. Now he's barking?
That's Bear.
Oh.
What is up with Bear today? He's never been this bad, ever.
Well, he's in a different place.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, in this... Oh, my God. In this house that we're in for the holiday, he's a nightmare. I don't know what it is. He has to bark at everything that happens.
Why don't you put the dog outside for 4 hours?
It's not that cold.
It's not that cold.
You know what? You may be right. Maybe it's time.
I may be crazy.
Maybe I'm just
might
a lunatic.
Be a lunatic. Yeah.
Right. You're looking right.
All right, let's squeeze in another Big Blue report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Bill Barnwell was on ESPN earlier today, and he was asked, what should the Giants do with Daniel Jones?
I don't know if the Giants are going to re-sign Daniel Jones. If it were me personally, I would say I appreciate all your help this year. You made us a better team than we expected. We still think we're going to go out and sign either sign Jimmy Garoppolo or a veteran in free agency or draft someone in the first round in 2023. I think that's what the Giants do. I think that's what they should do. But I think what they actually end up doing depends on what they do with Saquon. If Saquon signs an extension, now the Giants have the franchise tag to use on Daniel Jones. And that might be a little more reasonable than signing him to an extension. If they don't have the franchise tag and have to use it on Saquon, then I think you're kind of just going, letting Daniel Jones go into the market. But I have to admit, I don't know what you guys think, but I can't imagine that someone's going to make Daniel Jones a really significant offer to be the quarterback of their football team.
Well, I mean, that's amazing. The amount of love that Jimmy Garoppolo is getting. You realize the contract that Jimmy Garoppolo agreed to this year to come back to San Francisco turned out to be the right move. And also, do you realize the draft capital that the 49ers traded away to make that trade to get Trey Lance?
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, Jimmy Garoppolo, who has maybe the best weapons in football around him, now he's everybody's favorite flavor?
Well, what I don't understand is that if he's not going to get any significant offers, Jones, then doesn't that play to the Giants getting him cheap?
But maybe they don't like him as a player.
Well, if they don't like him as a player, then it doesn't really matter. Now, I let me ask you this. Did they try to get a deal done at the bye with Saquon because they really want to bring Saquon back and love Saquon? Or they're thinking the motivation was, I want to free up the franchise tag to put it
right
on Jones.
We don't want it because otherwise we have to use it on Saquon.
Right.
Because you can't lose. I mean, at this point, guys, unless like every game is like last week, short of that happening, you can't lose him.
But guys, even franchising Jones might come $7, $8, $9, maybe $10 million more than you're willing to pay him.
That's
now,
right.
It'll only be for 1 year. But if Barnwell's right, nobody's going to make any significant offers, then, you know, give him $16, $17 million a year and bring him back next year. Wouldn't that be better than franchising him for $27, $28 million?
If he would take it.
Well, if he's not getting any other significant offers, That's all I'm leaving of what Barnwell said. He doesn't think he's going to get any significant offers. All right, we'll give him a 1 year, $19, $20 million contract and come back for one more year. Isn't that better than franchising him for a year?
You would think. That's the Big Blue Report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers.
Pick a
design, the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 6 area locations. You know who's back? Shady's back and Harry's back. Harry in Englewood. Harry, what happened?
I don't know. I guess I'm not paying my telephone bill.
Oh, Harry, no. Come on.
Thanks again for your concerns and a happy, healthy Thanksgiving to all of you over there. You're so nice to me. And also to Spike, who also says nice things about you. I would like to give Judge a little advice.
Okay.
If I needed the extra money to have to, like, help support my family and give it to my favorite charities and things like that, I would grab it. If I didn't, there's no way I would take the extra money, because you're spending the rest of your life, practically the rest of your life, and you want to be in a very comfortable and happy environment, which... Personally, the way I hear him, that he is very, very happy with the Yankees. Now, I'm sure he's going to take my advice, but I would like the three of you to give what you would do if you were in his position.
Well, Harry, here's the problem, and very happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yes.
We, as fans and broadcasters, have a bias that, you know, being a Yankee is the be-all, end-all. Players think differently. Now, some of them do think that. Derek Jeter thought that. We don't know what Aaron Judge thinks. 213.5 for 7 years was an incredible offer. He said no. So money's a factor, right? He risked all of it, suffering a terrible injury because he wanted more. So now, all of a sudden, guys, are you truly of the belief that he's going to take less money because he loves the Yankees?
Maybe a little less.
Not a lot.
It's got to be significantly higher than what he was originally offered.
Right, not a lot.
I'd also like to apologize to Harry.
Why?
In what sense?
Because he called last week and we were all very sad that he wasn't able to come. And I said, don't worry, Harry, you might not be there, but you will be discussed. And I did not give him a shout out during the anniversary show. And Harry deserves a shout out.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. We're glad you're feeling better, bud.
There was a lot of moving parts on Friday, so I will apologize, but I can't say I feel bad about
especially with Michael when Rick sat on his lap. You know what I mean?
That was beautiful.
Well, it wasn't sitting on his lap. It was jumping into his arms that almost killed the poor guy.
Almost killed my back, but Rick checked in on me.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Okay. He said, how's your back?
Well, around what day did Rick sober up after the event?
Don't you worry about it. He's just always jolly.
I never got the sense he was intoxicated.
What? That Rick wasn't intoxicated? Oh, he promised he would be, and he delivered.
Wow. I will not have you besmirch this, man.
I'm not besmirching. It was a Friday night. Everyone's entitled to a good time. But it is nice to know, Michael, that Don cannot detect intoxication.
You know what he can detect?
What's that?
Daily Don. Oh, Don, you're all locked and loaded coming up next?
I think this is going to be a fun one.
You think so?
Yeah, because I think you'll both be able to contribute for completely different reasons.
So it's not about baseball?
No.
That's rude.
You know, when Peter and I when Peter and I were in our text fight yesterday.
Yes.
This one, you weren't on this one, Don.
Okay.
He said to me, you know what? Sometimes you could be a real jerk. And my reply was, no, always.
No, I was on that.
Oh, you were on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hard to tell.
I would say, from what I understand, there was a text thread and then there was an off, like an actual conversation.
There was actually three threads. There was actually three.
Well, I
and you were
believe
on two
me, I got everything. I got all the information about the back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter assumed that maybe like I was in a shower doing other things. No, I followed it in real time.
You did?
Yes, I did.
You just laid out.
What am I going to do, Peter? What could I possibly do?
Were you stunned and a little uncomfortable, like a child seeing your parents go at it?
No. There was a lot of aggression on both sides. I would say, as bad as it got, it was not any... The The first one from each of you
was a Scud missile.
Was unbelievable. Well,
but who laid out the first Scud?
Well, no, Michael did.
All right.
And then Peter responded with a haymaker himself. And then it kind of gradually got less and less and less. But the biggest bombs were thrown right out of the box.
I'll tell you what. Peter really impressed me.
Why?
Because I thought I would connect with that first punch and you would just lie down.
No
but
way.
You just got up and you were scrappy continued to throw punches.
If Peter turtled, you would own him for the rest of the show. But he's not that guy. He had to fight back for his own well-being, for standing on the show.
It's like jail. It's like prison rules, you know?
Yeah.
You got to come in and hit the biggest guy right in the face with a brick.
And that's what you did. And got a very unusual apology from me. It just doesn't happen.
I got an apology and a peace offering. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to tell you. You know what? I'm going to tease this all the way to ENN.
Okay.
In ENN, Natalie had a thought about Michael's peace offering, which was incredibly interesting. Incredible. And I think Michael's going to be delighted to hear it.
Wow.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, gentlemen, it's that time of year and it's that time of day. Today's Daily Don driven by Nissan. You know, with the World Cup, Peter, I figured Michael would appreciate this and definitely have some opinions on it. And you'd appreciate it as well.
Okay.
Top five reasons people say they hate the World Cup.
Top five reasons people say they hate.
Well, you non-soccer fans, you know, they're, I hate the World Cup because you hear it all the time. Michael says it all the time.
Extra time.
Wow, Peter. What a pull. Just in general, the clock. Oh, why can't they stop the clock when there's an injury? Why can't they stop the clock when the ball goes out of bounds? Like, why is there this extra time? It's so arbitrary. When's the game end? Whenever they feel like it's going to end? And why does the clock tick up? Why doesn't it tick down? Number one, great pull, Peter.
Thank you.
Flopping.
Michael? Oh, flop. Great pull, Michael. I got it five. Happens in the NBA all the time, but during the World Cup, all these guys would, you know, drop like they got shot. Ridiculous.
It is funny. People really turn up on the flopping in soccer right. So much more than every other sport.
Haven't watched the soccer, you know, more than 3 seconds of a soccer game in 50 years. Why don't you like it? Oh, because they flop too much. They're laying down. They're dead.
But they really play it up.
I mean, they do, but it happens in other sports. That's the point, okay?
They don't play it up like that. These guys act like...
Oh, see?
It's a scene from The Departed.
You know what?
That's one of the reasons why it's on the list, guys.
This is what we're talking about. How about not enough goals?
Oh, what a great... Peter, 2 for 2, number 2. There's not enough scoring. They're just standing around. There's never any opportunities. How can anybody watch this sport? It ends 0-0. Stop it.
By the way, Spain won 7-0 today over Costa Rica.
I would say, for me, that FIFA, if that's the governing body, had the absolute... gall to sell their soul to Qatar to put the World Cup there.
Great poll again. Guys, you guys are on fire. I just went general. FIFA is corrupt. That's the reason they don't like the World Cup. Oh, I can't stand FIFA. Those money-grubbing pieces of garbage. Meanwhile, they'll watch every college football game on Saturday.
How about... That's four of them,
That
huh?
was number three, by the way. So you guys have just need number four.
The USA stinks.
There you go! I actually went with the sucks, but you know what? This has never happened. You guys went 5 for 5 combined. Number five, flopping. That was Michael. USA sucks. That was Peter. FIFA's corrupt. Number three, that was Michael. Not enough scoring. Peter at 2. And the clock, Peter, number one. What a great job. Tremendous job. Did I not nail it? I knew Michael because these are his top five complaints. And Peter, you've been around enough of these people to be able to nail it. Great job, guys.
That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
And that's the Daily Don, driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com. Another one that I was thinking of doing and didn't put in was the whole vernacular. Oh, they got to call it nil and not zero.
Football, not soccer.
It's football with a U. But I'm very happy, and the way you guys guessed, I'm thrilled with my top five.
You just love when we're engaged.
Love
that's part of it. Management certainly loves it, but this time I think this was perfect because it's right in the middle of the World Cup, and I think everybody was able to contribute because I'm sure there are people out there that were shouting the answers out along with you.
Want to give some love to the Jets. The Jets have joined Food Bank for New York City, and they will serve meals in Harlem to celebrate Thanksgiving. The Jets going to donate $15,000, and the players that will take part, Quincy Williams, Solomon Thomas, Braden Mann,
Thomas Jones is coming back.
No. That's awful. It's awful to give me something like that I can't read. And
Oh, no.
He tried to do something nice. And then
Thomas Hennessy, Tanzel Smart, and Adam Pankey. They will unload turkeys and fixings from the food bank's trucks and serve a grab-and-go Thanksgiving meal.
That's really nice.
That is nice.
I like when people do
good things. When I asked Callie about it, she said, I'm good.
You know what I love?
What?
When we get to do the NFL picks on a Wednesday, and we get an NFL announcer lineup on a Wednesday. Is that not? This is why I'll say it. I'll take it to my grave.
This should be a 3-day-a-week show.
Yes, I would feel this way every week if management would do the right thing. But that's not what I meant. I was just going to say I'll take it to my grave. Thanksgiving week, number one week of the year. It's
the best. Why? Because you get a 3-day work week.
Everyone gets a 3-day work week. Shout out to all the people who got to work tomorrow. There are people in retail. Yeah,
including people on the show.
They're on the station, at least. Wait, you?
No, but Anthony.
Anthony, you're working tomorrow?
I'll be here Friday.
Friday, okay.
Who's doing the show Friday, Ant?
Don's best friend.
Oh, Danny.
Mr. Graham.
And we have a show tomorrow, Tie 3 to 5, a best of, which will sound very similar to what this show sounded like today from 5 to 7.
Interesting.
Wow. So you're going to get the show tomorrow at 5 o'clock after the great Ty Butler. Is that what you're saying?
And Ty Butler finished in the top 5 and sexiest men on the station.
He actually texted me wondering if there's a gift he can give me to move up.
I respect it.
I think there's certain gifts.
And I told him there's nothing you could do to crack the top 2.
No.
Maybe pass Peter.
Yeah. He could pass me. But, I mean, Alan and Rick are going to be tough.
Now, people are wondering, why not RJ? This was only on air. If we did an off-the-air one, it'd be a different
list. I wouldn't even allow it. I'm down on RJ.
What, for leaving?
Yeah.
Still?
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget.
What was that, 2 years ago, Peter?
Yeah.
How long have you been on the show?
Oh, it's been so great. I can't even remember. I think it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
No, I don't forget. You think I'm going to forget? He made a decision. I want to go with them and leave you, meaning 3 of us.
Oh, wow. Awful announcing. The Michael K. Show thinks broadcasting salary should be public knowledge. We got headlines, baby. We're getting names.
I'm proud of that opinion. Aren't you, Michael?
No, I don't think it should be. Oh
well, they believe that's
not
unfortunately.
The
Michael K.
I don't think it should be public. I think there should be a database with all of our salaries, so we're at less of a disadvantage negotiating with the animals that negotiate with us because they all know that.
Let's broadcast it.
Well, I'm sure if there's a database, Don, there'll be a leak.
Yeah, there'll be leaks. Whatever. I just think if we're all for one, one for all, we should know.
How about
and the
this,
audience
Don?
Should know. Before they should
we,
know.
Before we go to the football picks, let's make a deal. When my time is up on the show, let's say it's in 5 years.
Okay.
I will reveal my final year salary if you reveal Portland.
Okay. That's fair. So anytime you leave, anytime you happen to leave,
right,
you'll reveal how much you made in the previous contract,
right,
and I'll reveal Portland,
right.
There. Shake on it, distant handshake.
All right, now you're rooting for me to leave, aren't you?
No, come on, man. We told you it would be the show.
It's not time for you to go.
Aaron Rodgers confirmed today his right thumb has been broken since week 5. Happened on the last play in London.
I was thinking about that earlier. Michael, earlier in the show today, you said Jordan Love's never going to play. If they lose again and Rodgers gets beat up at all, I think you will see Jordan Love because they at least got to try to get something for him if he's never going to play with them.
How do you think that conversation with Rodgers will go?
Not great. But otherwise, they just have to eat it?
Not great, Bob.
But I think he might be on board because why is he revealing it now unless Peter's scenario is on the table? Mm. Right?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. These
pick up football.
Pick up football.
Are the Michael K. Show
pick 'em
pro picks.
3-3-3-3-3.
All right, it's time for the Michael K. Show Pro Picks. They're sponsored by FanDuel.
Sure it is.
America's number one sports book. We're going to start off this way with Mr. Bruni's picks. He's had a miserable year. Let's see if he continues. Dolphins, Chargers, and Giants. Dolphins, Chargers, and Giants. You want to give Bears pick early? Because you go first, Peter.
Yeah, let's get Bear out of the way as well. Bear's going to keep it rolling with those San Francisco 49ers. They're hosting the Saints on Sunday Night Football, and Bear is feeling Jimmy G's swagoo right now.
9.5 points.
That's right. Giving it all.
All right, Peter, you and I both finished with 2 points, but you're ahead of me in the standings, so you go.
1, 2, 3-point play.
That's right, Michael. I am sitting, for those betting, at 19-13-1, 40.5 points overall. And I promised I would bet all 3 games tomorrow, and that is exactly what I'm going to do.
Goodness.
Going to go with my gut, guys. I don't know where it's going to lead me, but we're going to try. These are the picks I like the first day, so here we go. I will go with your Detroit Lions to cover the 9.5 points. I know the Buffalo defense could be, you know, just the thing to slow down a really solid Lions offense, but for some reason, I'm feeling the mojo this year, and it just feels like the Thanksgiving when the Lions will at least keep it somewhat close. It's a pretty big number on the road for the Buffalo Bills, who I still think are playing with Josh Allen, who is not full Josh Allen. I'll take the Lions, my 1-point play. It takes us to the 4:30 vehicle. That would be the Giants at the Cowboys. I said it earlier in the week, and I'm going to stay with it. I mean, the number went to 10 because, of course, everyone, the public, always hammers the Cowboys. I don't like that part. I would have liked it better at 9.5. But either way, I'm going to go with the Cowboys favored the 10. It's not a diss to the Giants, and I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants do play it close. But I just think this Dallas team is heading the right direction. I think the Giants are probably finding some comeuppance. I will go with the Dallas Cowboys as my 2-point play, and that leaves us with the Thursday nighter, I should say. I am going to go with my guy. I know he let me down last week in the most disgusting of ways, but I love the Vikings at home. I always do. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's hanging over me all the way back from 1998, but I like this Vikings team in spite of the horrible play last week against the Cowboys. I'll give the 2.5 to the Patriots, and I'll make it my 3 three-point play.
Three,
wow.
Three.
Now, you realize, Peter, the game is in prime time, and that's pretty much
Oh, that's not Cousins' time.
Kirk Cousins soils his pants in prime time.
I'm aware of it. I don't believe in it.
And
it,
also, you realize that Bill Belichick owns rookie coaches, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. So you're riding against that.
Okay. Listen, I hear you. I hear you. Did you check out the Patriots last week?
Yeah, I did.
Were you impressed?
They won.
They won. They did something.
All right, so I'll go now.
One, two, wow. 3-point play.
I'm going to take, with my 1-point pick, I'm going to take the Seahawks. They've had some rest after that trip to London. The Raiders have played a lot of games, and they're awful. It's only a 3.5-point spread. So give me the Seahawks at home. The 12th man is going to be very important. Seahawks will win by about 10. My 2-point play.
Here we go.
Give me the Cowboys. I told you before exactly what's going on here. The Cowboys, they only worry about Dak being rushed on a blitz. And I think that Martindale's going to have to do that, especially with two corners out. They're playing with guys off the street. They have so many injuries right now. And Dak happens to be great when he's blitzed. I think the Cowboys run away with this. I mean, if it's giant magic, that's great. I don't lose any ground to Peter. That's okay. Give me the Cowboys. And my 3-point pick,
three,
I'm
going to
spit
three,
right in the
three,
face of Peter
three,
Rosenberg.
Three.
If you're watching on TV right now, I think Peter's in an FBI safe house. That's what it looks like. And he made a bad pick with the Vikings. Give me the Patriots, all right? This is moving day. Patriots. He
wow.
owns young coaches.
Wow.
Nighttime owns Kirk Cousins. Vikings coming off just an uninspired performance against the Cowboys. They
That's
rise
right.
up, the Patriots do, and crush Minnesota's Thanksgiving hopes.
All
right. That's my 3-point play.
All righty.
Wow. All right.
It's big. It's a big move. I don't like the move by you, but it's a big move.
Well, I, like Peter, just committed to just getting it all out of the way on Thanksgiving. And we're going to start with the first game, Bills and the Lions. Bills favored by 9.5. I'm getting it under 10. I like what Peter's saying about the Lions, but I think the Bills, you saw it against Cleveland. It was a backdoor cover by the Browns. I know the Lions, the place is going to be up for grabs. The team's exciting right now, scoring points, but I think the Bills are starting to get into their groove just a little bit, and I'm getting less than 10. I like the Bills to cover the 9.5 as my 1-point play.
Wow.
My
so that's moving day for you. You're going to pick up 1 point, maybe.
My 2-point play, I agree with Peter. I don't think the Patriots are very good. I mean, if you take out the two wins against the Jets, what exactly are the Patriots, really? And I think the Vikings will bounce back, and they're not going to lose back-to-back games at home. That was just a bad thing against Dallas. It just didn't work out. It kind of got away from them. I don't think they're a great team either, Peter. But I don't think it's going to take a lot to cover the 2.5 against the Pats. That's my 2-point play.
Awful pick.
Well, I would think you'd say that, Michael, since you went the opposite as your 3-point play. So let's not waste words here, okay? Actions speak louder than them anyway. And my 3-point play, I mean, I love my Giants, I do. But, Peter, we've seen this coming, and it's just way too many players that are hurt. And remember, with a backup quarterback, it wasn't even Dak that beat the Giants at MetLife when the Giants were flying high and the Cowboys still won that game on the road by 8. And now they've got their starting quarterback back and the Giants are decimated by injuries coming off a terrible loss. All they have to do is win by 3 more points than they did when they weren't even healthy on the road when the Giants were playing better. So I like the Cowboys to cover the 10 as my 3-point play.
Three.
I think it was a solid pick segment. Really do.
Well, so basically the Cowboys game is almost a wash at this
That's
point.
A wash for us.
Right. Just sit there and enjoy.
It's really.
Although
it's,
I'm rooting for the Giants now because Don has his 3-point play as the Cowboys. So you have to be strategic in the way you root.
I guess you're right. I guess so. I'd be rooting for the Giants at this point too.
I'm rooting for the Giants because that's my team and who
right.
cares
so
about
none of us are even rooting for the Cowboys, but
I think the Patriots-Vikings game means the most to all of
See,
us.
See, now that game where normally everyone's falling asleep, high off tryptophan, no one cares, we're all locked in.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
That's the Michael K. Show Pro Pick, sponsored by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Oh,
when we come back.
And we got it. He decided to go with just the one, but Aaron Boone
manager of your New York Yankees is picking the Vikings to cover.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. We got the Booner on our side, baby.
And
he's 7-4.
And I wished him a happy Thanksgiving, and I got eggs.
All no, I got no is reply.
All I got, and I don't know what this means. I guess he's just really excited. He picked the Vikings with 3 exclamation points.
There you go.
So he's picking the Vikings.
I hope he's wrong, because I'm picking the Pats.
Yeah, well, evidence suggests.
What?
When we come in on Monday, there could be a new leader.
Oh, you mean if I go? No, there can't be, actually.
Oh, sure there could be.
No.
If you lose the Vikings, I lose the Pats, that's 3 points.
Okay.
And if you lose the Lions and I get the Seahawks, then I've gained 4 points on you.
I'm up 5.5 points on you.
Is it 5.5? Well, then there won't be a new leader. Well, you're right.
It's really important. We don't even know the score. And I just got a follow-up text from Booney. Happy Thanksgiving, Don! Exclamation point.
Wow.
Wow.
You guys are very close.
Yeah, we're getting there. Well, can we just say I'm closer to him than anybody else on the show?
Right now?
You're unbelievable. Oh,
no, I really believe that's a safe thing to say. Yeah, very safe.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.